this service of worship. This is Evangelism Sunday here, and so the Evangelism Committee is really in charge of and responsible for the service today. Charlie Pringle is our guest speaker, and Ted will introduce her later in the service. Let us worship God together. With what shall we come before the Holy One, and bow ourselves before God on high? God has shown us what is good. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God? Let us join together in singing the first hymn, which is number 38, How Firm a Foundation. When I consume the heavens,
Good morning, everyone.
Woo!
Wow, yeah, I like that. So thank you so much for having me today. At Hope and Passion Ministries, we are a 501c3 incorporated religious organization, and because of the pandemic, we have gone international. We're an online ministry. I teach through the book of Genesis on Tuesday evenings, and I'm preaching through the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings. We live stream all those messages, and I am happy to say that we now have people who testify from all different countries of the world that they are learning God's word, and that has been the cry of my heart since I was this big. I've been preaching since I was about six, from stuffed animals to my brothers to the youth group to adults, and I just am so happy to be here with you today. The message that God has put on my heart for this morning is, as Ted said, called last words. How many of you know that somebody's last words are important words, generally speaking, right? When a person, for example, is laying on their deathbed and they want to communicate something, you know that what they have to say is pretty important. Now, in the Gospels, we know that the last thing Jesus did on this earth was he ascended up to heaven. But as far as God has laid out the scriptures, it goes from Genesis to Revelation. And the last words that we have as far as the canon of scripture is concerned from Jesus are at the very end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. We have, as far as the canon of scripture is concerned, the last thing that Jesus wanted to say to us. And guess what those words are? Surely I am coming soon. Did you know that those were Jesus' last words? Surely I am coming soon. So if these are the last things that the Bible tells us from the heart of Jesus, then it's something that we need to think about. Now, I know all of us think about meeting God in terms of our own death, but there's a bigger plan to God than even our dying and going into the heaven that now is. And the plan of God is that Jesus is coming back to this earth one day. How many of you know that's true? He's physically coming back to this world one day to make it new. And the last thing he wanted to remind us was, surely, even though it doesn't seem like it, even though things seem to be getting worse in the world, amen, they seem to be getting worse, Jesus said, surely I am coming soon. Now, to corroborate what Jesus says in the book of Revelation, since some people think Revelation is such a radical book, when really it's not, the whole Bible is one piece. It all fits together from beginning to end. I'm going to go to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks, this is Jesus again, so we're talking about the Savior here again, talking to us. Jesus talks about his return. He not only says he's coming soon at the end of Revelation, but he talks about it in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36, this may be a familiar scripture to some of you, Jesus said, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And then he goes on to say, now listen to this, this is Matthew 24, verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now who is speaking again here? Jesus Christ himself. Jesus says to us, as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, how many of you knew that Jesus corroborated the existence of Noah? You know, a lot of people take the Old Testament and they think, oh, the Old Testament, that's just a bunch of, like, stories of fairy tales to give us good moral values. No, that's not true. The whole Bible is God's word. And if you are going to discredit the account of Noah's ark, then you are actually discounting the word of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, my coming will be like it was in the days of Noah. So the question comes, what was Jesus trying to say there? What were the days of Noah like, actually? for Jesus Christ, and we are not looking for his return as a whole. But it is our, that's what it's all about. To know him is to love him. To know him is to look for his return. This world is not our home. And I hope you can say amen with me on that, because if you want this world as it is to be your home, whoo, that's a pretty rough situation to be in, because it's rough down here, right? And Jesus is coming back. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you ask yourself the question, we know what Jesus said about Noah's day, but what actually happened in the flood? There's a particular verse I want to point out to you, and I hope that it won't go out of your mind for a long time. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Okay? Here's what the verse says. You might think, Shelley, that's not a very inspirational verse. Well, now, hold on. Listen to this. Genesis 7, verse 11 says this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the seventh day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were open. Now listen to what that says. On the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day, on that very day, all the fountains of the deep burst forth. That means the ground opened up and water burst forth from below, and it burst that your smiling children's wallpaper. Hi, everyone. That's not what it was like. Noah wasn't in that ark waving to everybody who was dying. They were no doubt hearing the screams of people who were dying. And they were safe in the ark above the judgment, riding above the judgment. And all the people who were dying in the judgment were people who had an equal opportunity to be in the ark, but decided that they would just do their thing and trust their gut instead of trusting what God said. And I'm here to tell you, this is what's happening in the world today. Jesus told us not only would wickedness grow and would people rebel against the word of God, but Jesus clearly says all throughout this Bible that in the end times, people within the church would start to lose their grip. That there would be false prophets, false preachers and teachers, and that the gospel would get watered down. And that is what is happening, and we are not living like Jesus could return. My goodness, it is my life goal. Whether you're called into professional ministry or you're a Christian living in your workplace, in your family, in your world, whatever your world is, it should be our goal to make sure everybody knows God is in charge, Jesus is coming back, and things are about to change. And you better be on his side. Now, in case you still think I'm crazy, and I'm out of control, I want to take you to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. So we've gone to Genesis, we've gone to Matthew, we've gone to Revelation. We're going to tie this up. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3 because many of you know Petey. He's my favorite disciple, Peter. He had a big mouth. I know I have a big mouth. He said things he shouldn't say sometimes. But he was restored to Jesus, right? And he wrote 1 and 2 Peter, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to hear these chilling words from Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples. You know what he said about the flood and about the last days? He said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. How many of you know there are many scoffers of Christians today? Christians are the most mocked, marginalized, ridiculed, legislated against people in the world today. And Peter said in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Here's what Peter said they will say. These scoffers will say in the last days, you ready for this? Here's going to be their question. They will say mockingly, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it always has since the beginning of creation. Scoffers. People who say, he said he's coming back soon. He hasn't come back yet. Are you kidding me? And I propose to you that this is not just the dying world around us, the unsaved world around us. I think that many scoffers today are people sitting in the pews. You say, how could that be, Shelley? Well, let me ask you a question. If you really took Jesus and his word, if you really believe what the Bible teaches, that his return is imminent, it can happen at any moment, if you really believe that he could come soon, or that you will die, right? Either or. If you really believe that, would you have lived yesterday differently? Would your priorities change in prayer, in seeking God, in witnessing, in knowing this word, in being excited about him? If it would, then guess what? We're a little bit of a scoffer. Because we're saying we believe it, but we're not living like we believe it. And I want to say this. I'll shorten something else I was going to say this because I feel led by God's Spirit to let me know this. As far as mockery goes, how many of you have ever heard of the social media app TikTok? Anybody heard of TikTok? Okay, I'm on there. So if anybody's on there, are you children or grandchildren that are, and I'm not saying whether they should or should not be, but I know 2 years ago the Lord led me and he said, Shelly, get on TikTok. He had a teenager come to me and say, you're supposed to be on TikTok preaching the gospel. And I laughed in her face. I said, is it TikTok where, like, girls get on there and they dance around and they jiggle and they, you know, and she's like, yeah, but there's people on there that 4 years? Was it proper to use the word soon in all cases? Yes, I used the word soon in all three cases. In alignment with, here's what I think, the word soon has to do with the bigness of the event. If the only thing you've got left to do is tie your shoes to get out the door, then soon means really quick. But if you've got to study to go to college, you've got to do 4 years of high school work to go to college, then soon means you've got to start thinking about it now, even though it's way down the road. And I believe Jesus said, I'm coming soon. Because we're not talking about a driver's license here. We're not talking about whether you make it or fail out of college or not. We're talking about whether you end up in heaven with God Almighty or you end up in hell forever separated from Him. The return of Jesus Christ is the single biggest event in the universe. Who would agree with me? So when He said, I'm coming soon, He wanted to give ample time. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. Now people will die. People will go to hell. But God doesn't want them to. And so He's taking enough time to get as many people saved as possible. And so when Peter says this, he says these scoffers will come. But here's what Peter said next. But the scoffers deliberately forget. Have you ever deliberately forgotten something? You know what that means? Like, you didn't, oh, it just slipped your mind. You put it out of your mind. The Bible says they deliberately forget that by God's word, the heavens existed, the earth was formed out of water and by water, and that by these waters the world at that time was flooded and destroyed. So now we have Peter corroborating what Jesus is saying. Peter said the scoffers in the last days will deliberately forget that the flood ever happened. And that is why in public schools today, they don't want the Bible in public schools. The public school system teaches evolution, tries to teach kids that this Bible is not literal, that Noah's flood was not a literal event. That is all from the devil. Because Jesus and Peter said, people in the last days will forget that the flood happened. And here's the kicker. Here's what he goes on to say. He says, not only would they forget that, but they'll forget that by the very same word that the flood came, by the same word of God, by that very same word, you ready for this? The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, for judgment of ungodly people. Fire. The first time God brought judgment, it was a flood. Now, if I had a wooden table up here and I washed it, if I poured water over it, I could wash it, but it would still be the same table, right? And it could get dirty again. That's what the flood was like. God brought judgment, destroyed people, but it was just a reset. People were still sinners. People still came and commented. How many of you know there's sinners on the face of the earth today, right? That was a reset. But the second judgment of God will be by fire. If I have a wooden table up here and I set that thing on fire, chemically, it's going to change substances. It's going to go up in smoke and ash. It's going to become a different substance. It won't cease to exist, but it'll be transformed. God says, this time, He's taking the world and He's judging it by fire. Now, here's the good news. Do you know why He's doing that? Because He is going to make it into a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. He's going to completely remake this world. And I want to end with this hopeful thought for you guys. You can read it on your own this week in Revelation 21. You can read 2 Peter chapter 3. But I want you to know something. This is the promise of God. When Jesus returns, He is coming back to this earth and He is going to remake it completely. All sinners, all those who have chosen to reject Jesus, will be cast into the lake of eternal fire, where the Antichrist will go and his false prophet, where Satan will go. seriously. So I believe one of the greatest evidences that a person truly is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, truly forgiven, truly has the Holy Spirit living in them, I believe one of the greatest evidences is that you will be looking for Jesus Christ. You are waiting for him. You love him. You want him to come back. You know this world is wrong, and you want it to be made right, and you know that we humans cannot accomplish it on our own. No amount of humanism or new age meditative practices can ever usher in a new world. There's only one person who can usher in a new world. And what is his name? Jesus. The same one who said, I am coming soon. So I pray that that gives you some hope this morning. Would you mind praying with me for a minute? Father, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word this morning with these wonderful people here at Latrobe. God, in Jesus' name, I just ask right now that if there's anybody here in this place, any one of us, who feels like we really want to get it right with you, we want to know that our sins are forgiven, we want you to make us new, we want the Holy Spirit to live in us, we want to be looking for your return, Jesus, we want to believe your word. If there's anyone in here who has a little bit of doubt about that, God, let them right now reach out in their heart and know that you will meet them where they're at, and that you'll show them your truth and save them and help them. I thank you, God, for your great plan. Please be with us. We're living in, you know, God, more than anyone, we're living in difficult days where the truth is being twisted and things just seem to be haywire, but you are still in control. And the crazier it gets, the more we know, according to your word, your coming is sooner than ever. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one other thing that Luke's gospel says, when you see all these things taking place, wars and rumors of wars and false teaching and kingdoms rising against kingdoms and famines and earthquakes and pestilences, and that includes, you know, COVID-19 was a type of pestilence that the Bible actually speaks of coming toward the end. We've always had them, but they're going to ramp up more and more. But you know what Luke's gospel says? When you see these things begin to happen, you're not supposed to put your head down and shake your head in sadness and despair. Luke chapter 21 says you're supposed to lift up your head and look to Jesus, because here's what you know. Your redemption is drawing near. He's just about to come back. And I believe we're living in those days. So God bless each one.